It breaks the dark, it clears the way, guiding souls both night and day. It breaks the dark, it clears the way, guiding souls both night and day. Light of knowledge, light of knowledge.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya wal Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome to Views of Madani channel. Today's topic is Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, the night journey and ascension, the beautiful gift that was given to our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Dear viewers, when we observe this beautiful account within the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were many reasons for this event taking place. Today, inshallah, in our program, we will try our best to mention the story of Mi'raj, the reasons for why this blessed story and this event took place. Thereafter, we will also discuss the lessons that we learn from this beautiful account, because this is the core of the entire journey. What can the Ummah learn from this spectacular event? That miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which is deemed as arguably the second greatest miracle that was bestowed onto our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The first being the Holy Quran, and second, the blessed night journey and ascension. So my dear viewers of Madani channel, inshallah, we will be having kalams throughout the program. We have our honorable guest, Maulana Mubashir Zaatari, today. Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal. We ask Allah to grant him blessings in his health, in his wealth, and his iman as well. Inshallah, I would like to commence with a virtue of Durood-e Pak. This beautiful narration is cited in Sunan Ibn Majah. This is a very beautiful account, one that, inshallah, will inspire your hearts to further send peace and blessings upon our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "Recite salat upon me abundantly on Friday, as it is witnessed by the angels. A person does not recite salat upon me except that it is presented to me until he completes his recital." Sayyiduna Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu then asked a very important question that we too are asked today by many type of people. "Oh beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even after you pass away," meaning when we send salat upon you, you mention that it reaches you. "Is that only during your apparent worldly life, or is this also going to continue even after you pass away?" This was the question of Sayyiduna Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied with beautiful words, "Yes, even after my passing." And then he said, "Inna Allaha harrama 'ala al-ardi an ta'kula ajsad al-anbiya. Fa nabiyullahi hayyun yurzaq." Indeed, Allah Almighty has made it forbidden upon the earth to consume, to destroy the bodies of the prophets. Verily, the Prophet of Allah is alive, the prophets of Allah are alive, and they are given sustenance. Subhanallah. My dear viewers, what do we learn? Our connection with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam does not end. Even though he has left this mortal world, this mundane world, we as Muslims have our connection as strong as ever with our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is why Imam Ahlul Sunnah, he says, "Faryad ummati jo kare hale zar mein mumkin nahi ke khaire bashar ko khabar na ho." If someone is truly to proclaim and call out to the Messenger of Allah from the depths of his heart, sincerely, wholeheartedly, it is not possible for the beloved of Allah to not respond to him, to not comfort the heart of his ummati. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Now, my dear viewers, I would like to request our honorable guest to bless us with a beautiful kalam, and inshallah we will thereafter begin our blessed program. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Salli ala nabi سيدنا صل على محمد صل على كريمنا صل على محمد عرشك أكل دنگ عرشك أكل دنگ اور چرخ میں آسمان ہے جانِ مراد اب کدھر ہائے تیرا مکان ہے اور خوف نہ رکھ رضا تو تو ہے عبد مصطفیٰ تیرے لیے امان ہے تیرے لیے امان ہے امان ہے بلغ الاولى بکمالہ بلغ الاولى بکمالہ کشف دجا بجمالہ حسن جمیع خصالہ صلو علیہ وآلہ صلو علیہ وآلہ وہ کمال حسن حضور ہے کمال حسن حضور ہے کہ گمان نقص جہاں نہیں یہی پھول خار سے دور ہے یہی پھول خار سے دور ہے یہی شمع ہے کہ دعا نہیں صلو علیہ وآلہ دو جگہ کی بہتری یا لگی دو جگہ کی بہتری یا لگی کہ امانی دلوں جانگی کہو کیا ہے وہ جو یہاں نہیں کہو کیا ہے وہ جو یہاں نہیں کہو کیا ہے وہ جو یہاں نہیں مگر ایک نہیں کہ وہاں نہیں صلو علیہ وآلہ اور میں نثار تیرے کلام پر میں نثار تیرے کلام پر ملیوں تو کس کو زبان گی وہ سخن ہے جس میں سخن نہ ہو وہ سخن ہے جس میں سخن نہ ہو وہ بیان ہے جس کا بیان نہیں اور بخدا خدا کا یہی قدر نہیں اور کوئی مفر مقر جو وہاں سے ہو یہی آ کے وہ جو یہاں نہیں وہ وہاں نہیں صلوا علیہ وآلہ صلوا علیہ وآلہ سر عرش پر ہے تیری گزر اور دل فرش پر ہے تیری نظر سر عرش پر ہے تیری گزر دل فرش پر ہے تیری نظر ملکو تو ملک میں کوئی شے نہیں وہ جو تجھ پہ آیا نہیں صلو علیہ وآلہ کرو مد ہے اگلے دول رضا پر اس بلا میں میری بلا میں گدا ہوں اپنے کریم کا میرا دین پارا نہیں صلو علیہ وآلہ صلو علیہ وآلہ صلو علیہ وآلہ
سبحان اللہ سبحان اللہ صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم Subhanallah, dear viewers of Madani Channel, today's topic, Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. It's going to be difficult for us to do justice to this topic because there is so much to speak about. But I would like to commence with the reason for why this beautiful event took place. So if we go back in history, in the blessed seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, we find that within the year prior to the event of Mi'raj, many difficulties, many hardships befell our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As we know, at the age of 40 years, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made his announcement of prophethood. From that time onwards, up until the time of the journey of Mi'raj, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Muslims, the Sahaba kiram, the Sahabiyat, they were facing a lot of difficulty, a lot of persecution, and for many Sahaba, a lot of torture as well. And because of this, in these moments, Allah Almighty guided His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Muslims to remain patient in those times. During this time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was living with his blessed wife, Sayyida Khadijatul Kubra, the mother of the believers, radiallahu anha. The first blessed wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And for approximately 25 years, she had the honor of serving the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, spending her wealth upon him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and further just being that core support and comfort for our noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After 25 years of their blessed and amazing marriage, Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha passed away. This was during approximately the 10th year from the announcement of prophethood. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's companion, his beloved woman of the house, left this mortal world. And due to this loss, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam was also emotionally affected, especially when that personality left who was a strong support for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She was the one who supported him when other people turned away. The books of Seerah clearly mention to us how she sacrificed her own comforts that she could have lived if she didn't enter into the nikah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But she saw his beautiful character and she was impressed by the message of Islam through the noble character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam even spoke about her after her passing to his other blessed wives, that there was no one like Khadija radiallahu anha, a summary of his feelings and expressions. So my dear viewers, because of this loss, is this huge difficulty that befell the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then not long after, another support of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, since he was young, as he grew up, as a human does in adulthood, his uncle Abu Talib also left this world as well. And now due to this also affected the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam immensely. Then not too long after that, you have the incident of Ta'if. Just the word Ta'if and the name, it silences the believer. How much the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam went, my dear viewers, in supporting, in spreading the message of Islam. Today, we as Muslims look around the world. When the going gets tough within our lives, we tend to leave religious affairs. We tend to stop delivering bayanat or in coming to gatherings of Islamic knowledge. We tend to focus more on the world. Why? Because we're facing some financial difficulty. This small test that's come our way is really there to test us. Are we sincere in our claim of being true followers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because if we were, then the incident of Ta'if would never go silent in our mind. Every time we are afflicted with a hardship, we will remember 1 million times, is not even an exaggeration, more, the difficulties that befell our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially at Ta'if. So even that incident took place. All of this emotional hurt, and then the Sahaba kiram physically being hurt, and so much the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam faced. And how do we know this, my dear viewers? The story, the books of Seerah tell us how Allah Almighty does not allow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to remain in that state of sadness. Allah Almighty wills to bring happiness and please the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he is the beloved of Allah. So this year was known as the year of grief, Aamul Huzn. It was just after this year that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was granted the invitation, the divine invitation to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And my dear viewers, this is one point I want to mention to you today. You know, the entire journey of the Mi'raj, we have heard, alhamdulillah, throughout many gatherings we have attended up until date. Many years we have been listening to the ulama of the deen, we have been reading in the books. But there's one point we tend to overlook in just this introductory part. After hardship, my dear viewers, comes ease. This is the story of the Mi'raj, a lesson from the story of the Mi'raj. فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا With the hardship, there is ease. Not after. With that hardship, Allah grants ease. And not just once. Allah Almighty mentioned it twice. The Alif Lam and the word Al-Usr mentions, referring to that same difficulty and hardship, Allah will grant you many eases in that. And if we see in the story of Mi'raj, look how much the Prophet ﷺ went through difficulty. We tend to overlook this point. His life was going through hardships. And what am I trying to indicate towards? Look at our life today. We are most definitely going through hardships as well. The story of the Mi'raj reminds us that don't leave the divine court of Allah Almighty. Keep supplicating, keep asking, keep turning back to Allah, for Allah will grant you ease. Don't give up just on the first strike of a calamity. This is the meaning of the journey of Mi'raj. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because of his noble countenance, we are also blessed because we are part of his ummah. My dear viewers, after hardship, rather with the hardship will come ease. This is where we learn. As Muslims today, when Islam tells us to carry out certain activities, don't always project your moments of hardship, your worries, in front of the Islamic commandment. Because both of them are two separate things. This is a test from Allah Almighty to test our iman. And the second is a divine commandment. What we tend to do is we project our difficulty and use it as a barrier to fulfill the commandments of Allah. And this is incorrect. So my dear viewers, the first point I wanted to give today was the background to the story of the Mi'raj reminds us that with hardship comes ease. And how much ease, my dear viewers? It is beautifully stated in an Arabic saying, لِقَاءُ الْخَلِيلِ شِفَاءُ الْعَلِيمِ. And this is also another reason for why the Mi'raj took place. I'm going to explain this in a few moments. But if I was to just speak to you here, if I was to ask you, what is the most effective way of removing pain or hardship from a person that is afflicted with this test? And let us look at the story of the Mi'raj. The scholars of Islam tell us that when we give the most dear and beloved thing to a person, that helps ease the hardship that you're going through. And at times, it overwhelms even the hardship itself, where we tend to forget the hardship. What should we do? Give the most beloved and dear thing to the person who is going through the hardship. Let us now look at the story of the Mi'raj. Who is the most beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It is no doubt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Almighty knows this well better than anyone, that if there was anything that can bring comfort to the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then that would be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, who is the most beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is where the scholars say, there's an Arabic saying, the meeting of a close dear friend is a cure and a shifa for the one who is unwell. So here, my dear viewers, another reason for why the Mi'raj took place was because that grief and that hardship that affected the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the only way to remove that, the only way to grant Rasulullah even more strength to carry on with the mission, is that divine meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, another lesson for us. We too, when we're going through moments of hardship, turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is the only way to attain comfort. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Al-Wakil, the best disposer of all of our affairs. Allah Almighty has the absolute power to change our state. So why do we go everywhere else except for the divine court? This is also the story of the Mi'raj, and a lesson that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went directly to the court of Allah Almighty via an invitation, a very beautiful invitation as well. So my dear viewers of Madani channel, inshaAllah Azza wa Jalla, I'd like to start off the beautiful journey of the Mi'raj today, inshaAllah Azza wa Jalla. So my dear viewers, I mentioned the introduction, the background to the story of Mi'raj. Now let us go to the event. The scholars of Islam tell us the best way we can summarize the story of Mi'raj, because we won't be able to do justice by mentioning it completely, is to tell people that the journey was divided into three segments. Number one is the journey known as Al-Isra. Isra means the night journey, the land journey, the terrestrial journey, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went from Masjidul Haram to Masjidul Aqsa. This is mentioned in the Holy Quran in the very first verse of Surah Bani Israel, also known as Suratul Isra. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares, سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. This verse of the Holy Quran encapsulates the entire journey of the Mi'raj according to some ulama of the deen. Yes, the three parts all in this one. But now, my dear viewers, let me just go through this beautiful verse for us. Subhan. The verse begins with the word Subhan. Subhan means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is pure from every single defect, inability, incapacity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from all of this. Allah Almighty began this verse, which mentions the story of the Mi'raj, with the word Subhan, to let every single person know, those who object and the believers, that the beloved of Allah did not go on his own accord, but rather he went by divine invitation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invited the beloved. Allah Almighty took his beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam on this night journey. The one, Allah Almighty, who is free from every defect. O people of the world, O people of creation, you may be unable to traverse this journey through land, which is normally 2 months there and back, 1 month going from Makkah Sharif to Masjid al-Aqsa in Jerusalem in Palestine. And then on the return of that same land journey is another month. It may take you 2 months, O people of that time, but this is not difficult for Allah Almighty. This is very easy. This is something that Allah Almighty is the one. He says, kun. He says the divine word be, and it is fayakun. And how can we ever object to the power of the Creator? So the word subhanalladhi asra, this combination rather answers every single objection that can enter into the mind of any objector. This is how powerful the book of Allah, how powerful it is. A person will just begin with the very first word. As soon as he tries to dissect that word subhan, he realizes all my objections on one side, the matter is resolved. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one who has absolute power. My dear viewers, Allah Almighty began it with the word Subhan. To answer the objection of the objectors, Alladhi Asra. Asra is a past tense verb, which means when someone takes another person on a night journey. This is a very important point. Sara Yasri would mean to go yourself on a night journey. Asra Yusri means to be taken on a night journey. Even the Arabic verb that is used in perfection, in its complete and correct manner, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who took his beloved, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the verse, Asra bi'abdihi, the word is bi'abdihi, his distinguished bondsman. The scholars of Islam go into detail on the word bi'abdihi, that the word abd, which means servant or bondsman, this word, when it is used in the Holy Quran, it is used, and in normal circumstances, it mentions both a person's physical body and his soul. It is the combination of ruh ma'al jasad, soul and the body. This is also an objection for all of those who said this was a matter of the dream. This was a matter of the dream. The scholars of Islam actually outline this point. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam went on approximately 34 times he had the journey of Mi'raj. 33 times was in the dream, and one time was in the wakeful state with his body and soul. The scholars of Islam mention this. And this is that very account. Bi'abdihi means the Rasulullah went with his physical body. It was not a dream because of the word bi'abdihi. Then the word laylan, Allah Almighty mentioned. Laylan in the Arabic language just means night. But when the tanween, the do zabar has been placed on the word laylan, it can give different meanings. And the scholars of Islam say the meaning here of the do zabar, fathatain, the tanween is a small part of the night. A very small part of the night, this entire journey took place. Remember what journey? That journey, that land journey, which is approximately 2 months in that time. But Allah Almighty said it was just a very short span of the night. Then Allah Almighty said, another beautiful point rather, it just came into my mind. The word Asra, Yusri, Isra, already gives the meaning of night. So what's the benefit of mentioning Laylan then? Night again. It's not that Allah Almighty's words are not extra or additional or have no benefit. There are so many wisdoms, it's just us who we need to try and understand. Like I mentioned, the word laylan is used to show that it was a very short span of the night. It wasn't the entire night. It was just a glimpse of that night. Then Allah Almighty said, where was that journey to? إِلَى الْمَسْجِدُ From Masjidul Haram to Masjidul Aqsa. To Makkatul Mukarramah, to the blessed lands of Masjidul Aqsa. Now, my dear views, after this, it could have been end. The verse could have ended. But Allah Almighty further mentioned the sanctity, the honor, and the blessing of this holy masjid, known as Al-Masjidul Aqsa, Baytul Muqaddas. This sacred masjid, Alladhi Barakna Hawlahu. This is that blessed masjid, around which Allah says we have placed blessings. Around which we have placed blessings. Now the scholars of Islam tell us what blessings are around the blessed city of Masjidul Aqsa. Well, my dear viewers, the scholars of Islam say, when we look at Masjidul Aqsa and the entire complex, Allah Almighty has made the entire land, the soil and the land blessed, the olive tree, the olives in that blessed land are also pure and they are of the highest level of purity, as mentioned in another verse of the Holy Quran. Then the scholars tell us as well, the fruit, the vegetation, even the air in the complex of Masjidul Aqsa, in the lands of Asham, is blessed, my dear viewers. It is not ordinary like other places. Then the scholars of Islam say that Imam Fakhruddin al-Razi alayhi rahmah, he mentions in Tafsir Kabir, many prophets of Allah are buried in the vicinity of Masjidul Aqsa. For example, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Prophet Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, Prophet Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam, Prophet Musa, Prophet Dawood, Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. And one opinion is Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, whose blessed body was transported from Egypt to these lands. So this is where we learn, my dear viewers, this Alladhi Barakna Hawlahu has also an entire essay, an entire discussion that can be mentioned as well. This is why the land and the Masjidul Aqsa is a sanctity for the Muslims. It is not correct for the Muslims to not appreciate this sacred land. This will always be an honored land in the eyes of Islam, because approximately for 16 and 17 months, the Muslims, the Sahaba-i-Kiram, faced towards Masjid al-Aqsa to pray. But not only that, all of the prophets who came, they all visited this sacred masjid as well. And we believe in all the prophets, not only our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We believe in all the prophets. So all of their lives are sacred to us. And all of the maqamat and blessed places they have been are also sacred. So this is where we learn Madi views. Alladhi barakna hawlahu. The land of Masjid al-Aqsa is one which Allah Almighty has said we have placed blessings within it, around it. Then Allah Almighty says, indeed Allah Almighty is the all-hearing, all-seeing. Now here, my dear viewers, this was just the first verse of Surah Bani Israel. Now, if we go on to the story of the Mi'raj, we find that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was resting in the home of his cousin sister, Sayyida Umm Hani radiallahu anha, who was the sister of Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was resting there that night. That same Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, about whom the Quran says, Ya ayyuhal muzzammil, قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا. O beloved, O the one who is wrapped in the shawl, stand for prayer in night. Stand for the prayer in night, stand in the night of worship. And then Rasulullah stood in worship for so long that his blessed feet would swell. This was the level of ubudiyyah, the servanthood of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, how he loved to be a true servant of Allah, after whom the very famous incident mentioned in many books of Siha Sitta, Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, asks the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that, oh beloved, why do you exert so much effort in worship when it is because of your sake that the previous people of your ummah and those people who come after, the first and the last of your ummah, the common people and the elites of your ummah, they will be forgiven and blessed because of your sake. So why are you exerting so much effort? Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Afala akunu abdan shakura? O Aisha, should I not be a grateful bondsman of Allah? That beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he wanted to be remembered in this verse of Isra and Mi'raj. It could have been bi rasulihi, it could have been bi Muhammadin, it could have been many of his beautiful titles. But the title most beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that he is Abdullah. He wants to be known as the true distinguished servant of Allah Almighty. And today, the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tried to turn away from praying the 5 daily salah. This is something for us to reflect over, my dear viewers. Rasulullah loved to stand for worship at night. This is why in Islam, we have so many prayers. We have the 5 daily prayers. We have the prayer on Eid day. We have the Jumu'ah prayer. We have the prayer for Istisqa when we are asking for rain. We have Salatul Istikhara when you're seeking goodness. You have prayers when the moon is eclipsed or when the sun is eclipsed. Salatul Khusuf and Kusuf. You have the funeral prayer. You have so many prayers and prayers on namaz. Why? Because namaz is the beloved action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that was the gift that was given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and rather more blessed for his ummah, my dear viewers, on the night of Mi'raj, this blessed gift. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sleeping in the home of Sayyida Umm Hani. And I've mentioned he was resting, but he is that personality who was standing up in the night and praying. Then Allah Almighty said, oh beloved, reduce the time. Awinqus minhu qalila. Reduce the time, reduce it more. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was exerting himself in the worship of Allah Almighty. Thereafter, why is he resting at this night? Because this night was a special night. This was a night which Allah Almighty decreed that the invitation will be such that the beloved will be resting. And I will call him via my angel Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. So Sayyidina Jibreel enters, according to one narration, from the roof of the home of Umm Hani. He splits it open, or he descends from there. Then he wakes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam in the most beautiful, in the most gentle manner, with the blessed kafuri lips of Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, upon which Rasulullah woke up, but there was still drowsiness upon him sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam.
Qurban mein shaan o azmat par ke soye hain chain se bistar par tu Jibreel ami haazir ho kar مجدہ سناتے ہیں، معراج کا مجدہ سناتے ہیں.
سبحان اللہ، سبحان اللہ. My dear viewers, so this was the Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salam waking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam up in the most respectful manner. Then take the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam to the Hatim of the Holy Kaaba. For many people, they should know what the Hatim is, but for those who don't know, we see the Holy Kaaba, right? And then next to it, we have like a semicircle. That is known as the Hatim of the Holy Kaaba. That area inside of that, that is also a part of the Holy Kaaba. This is why when we do tawaf, we have to go around the Hatim. If somebody cuts through that, his tawaf is not done, because that is considered a part of the Holy Kaaba. So my dear viewers, that is where, inside that place, many people are honored to pray salah there. But when you pray salah there, remember, that is also the place where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also lay down. He was also asked and humbly requested to lay down, and the shaqq al-sadr, the opening of the blessed chest of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, took place for the fourth and final time in his blessed life. So whenever you go, my dear viewers, remember me in your du'as, remember us all in your du'as. But when you go there, remember this story as well. Your eyes should be filled with tears that how am I? In reality, we are all sinful people. But we are standing in that place, in that maqam where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. And his blessed heart, his chest was open. And what happened in that beautiful story? Rasulullah was made to lie down in the journey of the Mi'raj at the Hatim. And then Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam opened the chest of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The scholars say from the collarbone to the stomach, it was one entire straight line that it was opened. And the entire chest of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was opened, and his blessed heart was taken out. Thereafter, Sayyiduna Mika'il alayhi salatu wasalam, or another angel, he went to the well of Zamzam with a golden dish and tray and brought back water of Zamzam. And this is where the Zamzam water attained its mi'raj, its ascension on that night, where it came into contact with the blessed heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And this is, my dear viewers, where the water of Zamzam was taking blessings from the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Noor, hikmat, wisdom, more strength was entered into the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And then the golden dish tray was also placed inside, and it was Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam says, I saw the blessed heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I saw that it had two ears and two eyes. And he said, it is a qalb salim, a sound heart, a beautifully sound heart, the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Then the blessed chest was further, was stitched back up. One point to know is, who is narrating this account? It is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. An open heart surgery, those doctors will know, those experts will know of this field. Many people, I would say 100% of the people who have such a surgery are not awake. They are, you can say, drugs that are taken, they are put under sleep so that this surgery can take place. This was undertaken, and Rasulullah was seeing this with his own eyes. This is the miraculous nature of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He does not need the heart. Allah Almighty has granted this for the people. This is the human nature, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not in need of his heart. As you can see, he is telling the whole story, and he is telling us that my heart was taken out and it was washed in the water of Zamzam. Because I don't have time, we can't go into too much detail. But after this, Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam to now mount the buraq. The buraq is a heavenly animal, larger than a donkey and smaller than a mule. It is a white heavenly creature. So it's not an animal of this world. So all of our understandings and thought process about the nature of animals in this world cannot be applied to the buraq. Because the level of the buraq is such, its furthest glance is its first step. That's how fast the speed of the buraq is. This is why scholars say the buraq comes from the word barqun, which means lightning. That's how quick its speed is. This was the beautiful nature of the buraq that Allah Almighty created. And again, this was a protocol for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He did not need the buraq. This was the honor of the buraq. It's crying in heaven for yearning of the beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Almighty decreed to Sayyidina Jibreel alaihi salam, this is the buraq that will be used on the night of Mi'raj. So this is why when Rasulullah came to the buraq to mount it, it became excited and began to buck. It began to stir itself. Then Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned in front of the Buraq that, oh Buraq, are you not ashamed? Are you not ashamed? No one in creation more noble than him sallallahu alayhi wasalam is about to ride you. This is the honor. And then after this, the Buraq was sweating profusely and it calmed itself down. Then Rasulullah mounted the Buraq. And then Sayyidina Jibreel, Sayyidina Mikael, other angels were also a part of this. And then they went. This is the beginning of the land journey from Masjidul Haram to Masjidul Aqsa, my dear viewers. During this journey, this terrestrial journey, the Prophet ﷺ was made to see many secrets, many signs of Allah Almighty. This is why the Shaqqus Sadr took place, so that more strength could be given to the heart of the Prophet ﷺ to behold these signs of Allah Almighty. He came across different people. There was an elderly woman. According to some narrations, there were two times there was elderly woman. They both were calling towards the Prophet ﷺ. Sayyidina Jibreel said, Ya Rasulullah, continue forward, do not respond to them. Then he was told, Rasulullah was told by Sayyidina Jibreel that, Ya Rasulullah, that was the world that was calling you towards itself. And you see how elderly she was, that's how much time remains in this world. And another, the narration mentions that it was the shaitan calling you towards himself. And you ignored them. And this was better for your ummah as well. So the Prophet ﷺ went on this journey. He saw many signs throughout the journey. People were being punished. Even along the journey, he saw this, that there was a person who was holding a boulder and he was dropping it on a person's head. And the other person, and then the boulder was moving. And then the person went to collect the boulder, the rock and stone, and the person's head would refix itself. Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam was that this is a person who would stay asleep during the time of namaz. And he would purposely remain asleep during the time of namaz. He would allow his sleep to overpower his namaz. He wouldn't pray his namaz on time. His head, was heavy upon his pillow. And this is why, my dear viewers, all of these signs were shown. But if you think about them, because I don't have time to go into every single detail, but if you read the stories yourself, inshallah, all of these are mercy for us. That these events that are certain to occur and they will take place for people in the hereafter, in hellfire, and the punishments in the grave. We are being told now as a mercy so that we can save ourselves from this. Do tawbah from the sins that have been mentioned, like backbiting, like causing harm to people, eating usury, interest, wealth, riba, taking unlawfully the wealth of orphans. All of these punishments, the people who commit adultery, and all these other sins and punishments that were shown to the Prophet ﷺ. This is actually a mercy for us, that we are told that this is the punishment of such people. So, O Ummah, save yourself from them. How merciful is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we were told about all of this. So now, my dear viewers, coming to the to Masjid al-Aqsa, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traversed on the Buraq. During this journey, he was also told by Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam to alight, to dismount from the Buraq approximately three times at three different locations. One was in Taiba, i.e. Medina Sharif. The second was in Mount Sinai, Koh-e-Tur. And the third was Baytul Laham, Bethlehem. Three of these are blessed locations. First of all, Medina Sharif. And he was told, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this is the place of the migration. This is where the migration will take place. Then Rasulullah offered two raka'at salah in Medina Sharif then in that time. For blessings as well. This is a blessed land of migration. After this, he went to Mount Sinai, where Prophet Musa alayhi salam had his mi'raj in his lifetime to speak with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also indicated to in the Holy Quran as well. Then he also, Rasulullah, offered two rak'at salah there. During the journey of the mi'raj, there is salah. This is also the power of the salah, my dear viewers, the importance of salah in this story. And the third was Baytul Laham, the birthplace of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Even then, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed two rak'at there. What is the lesson here? What is the point we derive? The blessed places, the maqamat where the awliya, in this case where the prophets of Allah are, those places are places of barakah. Places where you should seek blessing. You should go and pray your salah there. You should do dua in the court of Allah Almighty there. Because your dua will be accepted. Then, my dear viewers, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after going back onto the Buraq, eventually reached Masjidul Aqsa. He tied the Buraq near that maqam, which even today it is situated. After some time, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam actually took the Buraq and moved him towards the courtyard of Masjidul Aqsa. That's when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went into Masjid al-Aqsa, and it was a very beautiful scene. Now, my dear viewers, this scene is something beyond our own comprehension. We see a religious personality today, we are overwhelmed with emotion. This is my Shaykh, this is my Peer Sahib, This is a alim ad-din. We've seen him on social media. We've seen him and we heard about him. He's such a huge sheikh. These are people of the world, my dear viewers, honored people of the world, in all due respect. But in that gathering, when Rasulullah entered, it was all of the prophets and messengers of Allah. Can you imagine how blessed the land of Masjid al-Aqsa is? That the entire place of the masjid was filled with anbiya of Allah. Anbiya and rusul. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam greeted the honorable prophets of Allah Almighty. He was taken towards the front. The prophets of Allah were all present there. Then Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam took the blessed hand of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and requested him to lead all of the prophets and messengers in prayer. This was that prayer that Masjid al-Aqsa attained its mi'raj. For witnessing such a spectacle that nobody in all of creation has ever seen. Such a blessed jama'at of a prayer where the imam is the most beloved of all of creation. The most beloved to Allah Almighty. The leader of all the prophets and messengers. And the muqtadi, the followers, are who? Every single one of them are prophets and messengers of Allah Almighty. Some scholars say even angels of Allah descended to also be a part of that jama'at as well. My dear viewers, this was that salah where Mufti Ahmad Yarkha Naimi alayhi rahma mentions that this prayer was tahiyyatul masjid, the two raka'at nafal when you enter a masjid and you pray. This was performed in jama'ah. And what does Imam Ahlul Sunnah say? Namaz-e-Aqsa.
Namaz-e-Aqsa mein tha yahi sir. Aya ghumani awal akhir. Namaz-e-Aqsa mein tha yahi sir. Aya ghumani awal akhir. Ki dast-basta hai peeche hazir. جو سلطنت آگے کر گئے تھے.
سبحان اللہ. Imam Ahlul Sunnat, the Mujaddid, the blessed personality who also enlivens our hearts with his beautiful couplets and poems. But this Qasida Mi'rajiyah, this ode, is beyond anything that we can even comprehend. How he captures that entire event so beautifully. That the secret of the prayer at Al-Aqsa was to make evident, to show to every single person the meaning that the Prophet is the first and the last. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is that personality. All of the Prophets requested, you please go forward and lead us all in prayer. Similar are the words of Imam Busiri alayhi rahma, where he says, وَقَدَّمَتْكَ جَمِيعُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ بِهَا وَالرُّسْلِ تَقْدِيمَ مَخْدُومٍ عَلَى خَدَمِ. A very same meaning as well, that all the Prophets of Allah Almighty requested the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to lead us all in prayer. Just as servants stand hands folded before the one who they serve out of reverence. This was, subhanAllah, such a beautiful event, my dear viewers of Madani Channel. After this amazing, this wondrous prayer was performed, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all of the Prophets remained within the masjid for some time, and then many prophets stood and delivered khutubat, sermons, speeches on that blessed night. Think about it. Everybody in attendance in a gathering are the prophets and messengers. And subhanAllah, what are they doing there? What are they speaking about? They are all praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Praising and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the virtues and all the blessings, the exclusive qualities that Allah Almighty bestowed them with. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that all praise to Allah who has taken me as his khalil, his close friend, who has given me an immense kingdom, who has made me a devoutly obedient community and one who leads and one who is followed. He rescued me from the fire and made it cool and safe upon me. Subhanallah. Each of the prophets mentioned their beautiful, the moments in their life that they felt were a huge favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in particular, meaning more so than others. Otherwise, the entire life is all something that requires gratitude to Allah Almighty. Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam thanked Allah for the honor of speaking directly to him, Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Furthermore, saving him from the Pharaoh and his army, revealing the Torah upon him, etc., etc. Saving the Bani Israel. Prophet Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned his virtues. Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned the virtues of Allah Almighty. Thanked Allah Almighty for all the virtues that he bestowed unto him and his blessed mother. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam mentioned and they delivered his sermon. And I will mention this to you now, my dear viewers. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Alhamdulillahi alladhi arsalani rahmatan lil alamin wa kafatan lin nasi bashiran wa nadhira. All praise to Allah who sent me as a mercy for all the worlds. And He sent me for all the people entirely. Bashiran wa nadhira, as a bearer of glad tidings and a warner of Allah's punishment. Wa anzala alayya al-furqan fihi tibyanu kulli shay. And all praise to Allah, the one who descended, who revealed upon me the furqan, the criterion, the clear criterion, i.e. the Quran, within which there is a clear explanation of all things. Wa ja'ala ummati khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. All praise to Allah who made my ummah the best of ummas that have been sent for the benefit of the people. My dear viewers, just one point I want to highlight here. On the night of Mi'raj, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not forget us. On that journey of the Mi'raj, when he left his home with a divine invitation from the court of Allah Almighty, and the time to express gratitude to Allah for all the favors of Allah Almighty, in particular, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam highlighted us, his ummah. My question for all of us is, how much do we remember him sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam? Today, we don't have time, unfortunately. We say we're busy with the world, we're occupied with so many things. We don't have time to recite salawat, we don't have time to send a prayer of blessings. My dear viewers, let us not do this. Let us understand that Rasulullah in this khutbah, not once, not twice, but three times said, Alhamdulillahi alladhi ja'ala ummati. He made my ummah. And then he explained regarding the ummah. He said, wa ja'ala ummati ummatan wasata. All praise to Allah who made my ummah. Think about the words, my dear viewers. He didn't say the ummah that was given to me. He said my ummah. He attributed himself to us. This is the love that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for us. How much love and still has for us. How much love do we have for him sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam? And then he said, وَجَعْلَ أُمَّتِي أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. He made my ummah the perfectly balanced ummah, the beautiful ummah, the ummah which is the upright, the middle community. And then he said, وَجَعْلَ أُمَّتِي هُمُ الْأَوَّلُونَ وَالْآخِرُونَ. All praise to Allah who made my ummah. He made them from the first and the last. We will be the first of people who will enter paradise, but we are the last of those who've been sent down onto earth. This is the mercy of Allah Almighty for us, for the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We ask Allah to grant us sincerity in this servitude in Allah Almighty and in being a part of the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and grant us istiqamat on this and death with iman and afiyat on this as well. Wa sharaha sadri wa wada'a anni wizri. Rasulullah further mentioned sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all praise to Allah who expanded my chest, who relieved me of my burden. And he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, wa rafa'a li dhikri, and he raised for my sake my remembrance. Wa ja'alani fatihan wa khatima, and all praise to Allah who made me the opener and the sealer, the opener and the sealer. And this was the khutbah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the night of Mi'raj in Masjidul Aqsa, in front of all of the prophets and messengers of Allah Almighty. My dear viewers, begin to imagine what is in this story of the Mi'raj. Why it's so important for us to know this story, to understand the secrets of this story, to live our life and expressing gratitude to Allah and thanking Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for this huge blessing. My dear viewers, after the time in Masjidul Aqsa, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now he was presented with two vessels, according to a narration cited in Sahih al-Bukhari. Two vessels, two cups, you can say, were given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of milk, one of wine. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam observed both of them and accepted the milk. After this, Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam then said, Alhamdulillahi alladhi hadaka lilfitrah, law akhadhta al-khamra ghawat ummatuk. All praise to Allah Almighty who guided you towards fitrah, the natural disposition, the purity and the pure nature. After this, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told by Sayyidina Jibreel, if you had taken the wine, your ummah would have strayed, would have gone astray. And this is also a beautiful aspect as well on the journey of the Mi'raj. After this, my dear viewers, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was then, rather let me not forget the incident, after Rasulullah mentioned the khutbah, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he said to the entire majlis of the prophets and messengers, بِهَذَا فَضَلَكُمْ مُحَمَّدٌ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. It is because of this, it is due to all of these excellences that he mentioned, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam has surpassed all of you. This is why we say Rasulullah is the most supreme and the leader of all the prophets. What does Allah Hazrat say in Maulana Sahib? Sabse aula ho aula
mara nabi, sabse bala ho aula mara nabi, khalq se auliya auliya se rusul, khalq se
کونین میں انبیاء تاجدار تاجداروں کا ہمارا نبی اور سارے اچھوں سے اچھا سمجھیے جسے ہے اس اچھے سے ہمارا نبی سارے اونچوں سے اونچا سمجھیے جسے سارے اونچوں سے اونچا سمجھیے جسے ہے اس اونچے سے اونچا ہمارا نبی سب سے اعلیٰ ہو اعلیٰ ہمارا نبی.
My dear viewers, this was just a brief discussion on the terrestrial journey, the land journey from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa. I would like to request the Madinah Channel team, inshallah, just to give yourself a little bit of a break from the story, inshallah, as well. If you can take one package, then return, and inshallah, we'll continue with now the celestial journey through the heavens and the return. We have approximately 25 minutes left of our program. We'll see, inshallah, if there can be an extension or if we have to complete it on time at 10 p.m. But my dear viewers, the whole point of this is to remember the lessons of the story of the Mi'raj and protect the gift that was given to us on this night. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
My dear viewers of Madinah Channel, we live in a time where lying has become the new norm. People will lie without having any reason to lie. But we are followers of the most truthful. We are followers of He who taught, عَلَيْكُمْ بِالصِّدْقِ. You must always speak the truth. Truthfulness is necessary. فَإِنَّ الصِّدْقَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْبِيرِ. Why? For truthfulness leads towards righteousness. Yes, unrighteousness will bear yahdi ilal jannah. This leads towards paradise. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he always emphasized the importance of being truthful. A believer never lies. A true believer never lies. A person comes, he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, I do this action, I do this action, I do that action. Drink alcohol, I do this, I do that. I also lie. Which thing should I give up first? You know, if there's one, I can only give up one. I will accept Islam true. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, stop lying. Through having stopped lying, that person also gave up everything else too. Of course, he accepted Islam first. And then he gave up everything else upon having stopped lying. Truthfulness is not just avoiding lies. It's clarity, sincerity, purity of intention. Your speech reflects your soul. When a person speaks the truth, he affects hearts. Yes, a person who always speaks the truth, he gains the trust of others. A person who always speaks the truth, he is raised and he raises others. So be truthful, but always be truthful. Yes, not just when it suits you, but even when it may bring about discomfort to yourself, we still must be truthful. Yes, people may not appreciate sometimes what we say, but we still must be honest. Let's clean our words, let's clean our promises, let's clean our faith, of course, with the truth, because lies lead towards fujur, towards wretchedness, towards corruption. And fujur leads towards Jahannam. It leads towards a fire of hell. We are Muslims. Muslims are those people who are truthful. When was the last time you have lied? Think before you speak. Are we just telling lies for no reason? No. Let's only speak the truth.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Dear honorable viewers of Madani channel, now inshallah azza wa jalla we will discuss the celestial journey from Masjid al-Aqsa, in particular the Dome of the Rock. Subhanallah. Up until, subhanallah, there's no really until for us. We can't really explain. La makan goes out of time and place. But inshallah, azza wa jalla, we'll start with this journey. So Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam ascended with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wasalam. Scholars mentioned different forms of modes of transport during this blessed journey. The blessed Buraq, the wings of Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, the wings of the angels. Furthermore, on the heavenly or such a stairs or elevation of light. Then there was after Sidratul Muntaha, Raf, and after this particular green throne, even that had to stay behind because of the nur that it could not bear either. And it was just Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascending. So the scholars of Islam mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended the earthly sky to the first sky. And he reached the gate known as Babul Hafadha. And there was an angel at that gate. The angel's name was Angel Ismail alayhi salam. And Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam asked for the gate to be opened. The angel Ismail alayhi salam said, who is here? Then he replied, I am Jibreel. He then asked Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, who is with you? Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam replied, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. After this, the gate should have been opened. Rather, the gate should have opened for the leader of the angels. But this gate, this entrance to the heavens was one that was only opened on this night. This is that blessed journey where there was a specific protocol, a specific pathway for the ascent to the heavens, my dear viewers. So then the angel asked, has he been sent for? Has he been sent for? And Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam then replied in the affirmative, yes. Upon this, angel Ismail alayhi salam said, Marhaban bihi fa ni'mal maji'u ja'a. He said, welcome to him. What an excellent visitor has arrived. Then the gate was opened. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. My dear viewers of Madani channel, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended, now he entered into the first sky. After traversing, going through the first sky, he reached a point where he saw Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, the father of mankind. And he went and approached Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and then he conveyed his salam. Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salatu wasalam replied to the salam and was informed that this is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, the final Prophet of Allah. Upon which he said, Marhaban bil ibn salih wa nabiyyi salih. Welcome to the righteous son and the righteous prophet. Subhanallah. And there's a beautiful account mentioned in the books of a hadith where during this particular moment, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw some people to the right side and the left side of Prophet Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Whenever Prophet Adam alayhi salatu wasalam would look to the right side, he would smile. And when he would look to the left side, he would become saddened. Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam informed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam that these forms on his left and right are his offspring, i.e. are humanity. And the ones on his right are the people of paradise, and those on the left are the people of hell. So upon seeing this, he would become happy and become upset and weep respectfully. Thereafter, my dear viewers, it was the command, rather the request, I should say, to ascend further. The Prophet ﷺ then exited the first sky and went towards the gate of the second sky, upon which the same dialogue occurred with another angel at the gate of the second sky. After this conversation took place, the Prophet ﷺ ascended into the second sky, upon which he saw two prophets of Allah Almighty, two cousins, Prophet Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam and Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. After greeting them with salam, they also replied to the greeting and then also welcomed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam with beautiful words. Welcome to him, the righteous brother and the righteous prophet. After ascending to past the second sky, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam then went to the third sky. Within the third sky, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, after traveling within the third sky, he came and saw another Prophet of Allah, namely Prophet Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Yes, Prophet Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam also greeted the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and replied to the greeting and then welcomed him as well. Continuing further, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's different narrations actually, like there was a conversation that took place between them. For example, the Prophet ﷺ asking Jibreel ﷺ about Prophet Yusuf ﷺ, mentioning that Allah Almighty made him extremely handsome. And this is also a very beautiful quality of Prophet Yusuf ﷺ. So this was the third sky. Continuing further into the fourth sky now, after the same dialogue at the start of, at the entrance of the gate, he entered into the fourth sky and saw Prophet, subhanallah. Which Prophet was this, my dear viewers? It was Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Idris alayhi salatu wasalam. Prophet Idris alayhi salatu wasalam also was in the fourth sky, welcomed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasalam. Then he ascended further, continuing upon the request of Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, entered the fifth sky. The fifth sky, he witnessed and saw Prophet Harun alayhi salatu wasalam, the brother of Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Again, after the welcoming, the greeting and the immense respect and honor given to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he ascended to the sixth sky where he met Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, after which greeting and also a conversation took place between the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam and Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. After Rasulullah had given salam and continued going ascending through the sixth sky past Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam began to cry. And then it was asked that what is the reason that makes you cry? Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, I cry because more people will enter paradise from the ummah of a young man who was sent after me than will enter from mine. Subhanallah. This is the honor of the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. There will be more from the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam in Jannah than the number from the ummah of Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. After ascending the sixth sky, he went to the seventh sky, my dear viewers. After the entrance at the dialogue at the entrance of the seventh sky, he met and saw Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, an amazing prophet of Allah Almighty, Khalilullah. And this is a very beautiful account because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam saw Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam leaning on Baytul Ma'mur, which is the Qibla of the angels in the sky. And Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was also with some souls in that sky as well, my dear viewers. And some scholars mention in different reports that it was here where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam led the angels in prayer facing towards Baytul Ma'mur. Baytul Ma'mur is that blessed Qibla which, if directly, if anything was to be dropped directly from Baytul Ma'mur all the way down through all of the skies, and the, I would say that object or anything that is thrown doesn't go left or right, it follows its own trajectory where it is directly downwards, it will be and it is in line completely with the Kaaba Musharrafa in the blessed city of Makkah. So they are both, you can say, above one another in that sense. So my dear viewers of Madani channel, after the seventh sky, after the meeting, after the blessed prayer as well, according to some narrations, there's also an account rather mentioned where the Prophet ﷺ conveyed salam to us, conveyed salam to the ummah of the Prophet ﷺ. And this is a very beautiful account which I want to mention to you today. It's mentioned in The books of Siha Sitta, Jami' Tirmidhi mentions this with this wording. So it's reported from Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لَقِيتُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ لَيْلَةَ أُسْرِيَ بِي. I met Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam on the night journey and ascension, and he said, Ya Muhammadu, O the exceptionally praised one, أقرئ أمتك مني السلام. Convey salam from me on my behalf to your ummah. Meaning we have received the salam of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And then he said, وَأَخْبِرْهُمْ and tell them, tell your ummah, أَنَّ الْجَنَّةَ طَيِّبَةُ التُّرْبَةُ عَذْبَةُ الْمَاءُ وَأَنَّهَا قِيْعَانٌ وَأَنَّ غِيْرَاسَهَا سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ وَلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ. What did Prophet Ibrahim ﷺ tell us after conveying salam? He said, tell your ummah that Jannah, paradise, has pure soil and sweet water. And it is an open level plain, and that its seedlings are Subhanallahi walhamdulillahi wa la ilaha illallahu wallahu akbar. These are the seedlings that we need to plant within this world. Say them in your daily invocations, my dear viewers. This is the guidance given to us by Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. How beautiful, my dear viewers, is this relationship that we have with Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Such a connection, rather, in which we remember Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam throughout our lives. Yes, how can you say that? Well, the gift of salah reminds us that within the prayer, we recite Salat ala Nabi. We recite Durood-e-Paak. And most of us recite Durood-e-Ibrahim, in which we send peace and blessings upon Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And then many of us recite that dua, which was recited by Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Allahumma rabbi ja'alni muqima salati wa min dhurriyati rabbana wa taqabbal dua. Rabbana ighfir li wa li walidayya wa lil mu'minina yawma yaqumul hisab. This is the dua of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So he has a huge part within our life, within our beautiful sharia as well. So my dear viewers, after this beautiful journey and conversation with Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam ascended beyond the seventh sky, now towards Sidratul Muntaha. Now this is known as the farthest tree, the lote tree of the farthest limit. So the scholars of Islam mention, Sidratul Muntaha is that blessed lote tree. It is luminous. It is full of nur. And the roots of that very tree are in the sixth sky. And the branches are above the seventh sky. The scholars of Islam mentioned in commentaries, in ahadith, forgive me. Its fruit, the fruit of that tree of Sidratul Muntaha, are large, like jars of the place known as Hajar. And the leaves are the size of the ears of elephants. This is how magnificent this tree is, my dear viewers. And Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam then said, this is Sidratul Muntaha. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam noticed four rivers emanating from the base of Sidratul Muntaha. Two hidden rivers and two visible ones. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam then asked, O Jibreel, what are these rivers? He replied, the hidden ones are two rivers of paradise, and the visible ones are the river Nile and the river Euphrates. The two hidden rivers of paradise, some scholars of Islam have mentioned in Mir'atul Manajih, it is mentioned, the two heavenly rivers are Al-Kawthar and Salsabil. Or some have said Al-Kawthar and the river of Rahmat. Subhanallah. So these were the rivers that were seen by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the night of Mi'raj. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended beyond Sidratul Muntaha. But this is where Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam asked for pardon and said, O beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I can no longer go any further. I can no longer go beyond the point of Sidratul Muntaha. There is such nur that if I even go a fingertip length or size above Sidratul Muntaha, I will begin to burn, or my wings will begin to burn. This is the level of nur that is emanating, that is at that maqam, at that level of mustawa is the word. Now, my dear viewers, there's a point here which is very beautiful. Let us not forget. Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam is an angel. Angels are made of light, right? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam is, alhamdulillah, within his human form. So the one whose nature or who is made of light, who's in his form, cannot go past that point. And the one who is in human form is traversing further. So what is really happening here? What is the secret? My dear viewers, this is the nuraniyat. This is the luminosity of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is far greater than Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, an angel made of light. My dear viewers of Madani channel, this was the station of Mustawa, which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traversed, and he ascended. It is mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari, Hadith 349, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard the screeching of the pens. The angels record the daily affairs of the divine decree, and they record a year's decree from Allahul Mahfuz, the preserved tablet, on separate scrolls with these pens. Then these scrolls are passed over to the deputized angels connected to the 15th night of Sha'ban, i.e. Shabe Bara'at. After this, Madani Views of Madani channel, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam even went beyond Mustawa. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived at the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allahu Akbar, there is a very beautiful narration in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whilst traversing these levels, these stages, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw many spectacles as well. He saw one individual who was completely covered, enveloped in the nur of Allah Almighty's Arsh. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam also inquired about who this man was. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was informed that, first of all, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Is this a prophet? Or is this a martyr?" I believe he said. And on both times, a negative answer was given, meaning in the negative, is it a prophet or is it an angel? And then it was said, no, it is none of them. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was informed that it is such an individual who his life was spent in this manner, that he was constantly performing the dhikr of Allah Almighty. Within his life, he would always be occupied in the remembrance of Allah. And he also had the quality that he loved the masajid. His heart was attached to the masjid. And this is also his quality. And a third quality, he was an individual that throughout his life, he was never a means of his parents being disgraced. Three qualities. So beloved to Allah that on the night of Mi'raj, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw that individual completely covered in the nur of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What were those qualities, my dear viewers? He was one who performed dhikrullah in abundance. He loved the masajid, and he was never a cause of disgrace for his parents. This is the quality of such an exceptional personality. May Allah Almighty make us people of such quality as well. My dear viewers, after observing the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traversed beyond the arsh of Allah Almighty. Now I'm going to read from the kitab Fizan-e-Mi'raj, because for us to word this is very difficult. It mentions Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traversed beyond the blessed arsh, and then arrived where the term when, the term where, i.e. time and place themselves, no longer exist. Because these words are used for time and place, where and when. And the extent of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mi'raj, his uruj, his ascension, was where there was no place, no time. And for this reason, it is called la makan. Subhanallah. My dear viewers, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed such a special nearness upon his beloved sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam that no other has attained nor will ever attain. The Quran mentions the wording qaba qawsain, which is used when the intention is to inform of utmost proximity. So the term qaba qawsain, which translates to the length of two bows or two outstretched arms. Now, my dear viewers, this is a term used in Arabic language, but it is used to just indicate towards utmost proximity. Thereafter, my dear viewers, was where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam was honored to behold Allah Almighty with his own blessed eyes. He was granted the vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and is mentioned very beautifully. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw Allah Almighty in a wakeful state with the blessed eyes of his blessed head. A vision for which there was no time, no place, no veil, no covering, nor was there any angel or human being. And he attained the honor of speaking with Allah Almighty directly. Subhanallah. So my dear viewers, the Quran Pak tells us, فَأَوْحَى إِلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ مَا أَوْحَى. So Allah Almighty, he revealed upon his servant, his distinguished bondsman, that which he revealed. Now this is kept, subhanallah, in such words, such secrecy. Because if we look at the story of the Mi'raj, it is truly a story of a secret. The verse of Isra, Subhanalladhi Asra bi'abdihi. It begins with Seen, and the last letter, As-Sami'ul Basir, ends with Ra. Seen and Ra means Sir. This entire journey was a divine secret of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Unfortunately, at the end of the program, so I will bring this all to a close now, insha'Allah azza wa jalla. The divine meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many gifts were given to our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this blessed night. As we all know, the gift of salah, the ascension of the believer every single day, 5 times a day, which will remind us of the story of the Mi'raj. The story of the Mi'raj is something we can never separate from, because it is because of this blessed journey that we have the 5 daily salah today. So alhamdulillah, all those who invite everyone to salah, remember the many miracles and the miraculous event of the Mi'raj. Understand the power, the authority given to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Understand his nuraniyat. Understand tawassul, wasila, seeking help from the pious people of Allah. For it was Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salatu wasalam who also helped the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam by asking, humbly requesting in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam to reduce the 50 prayers that were gifted to 5. After 9 times of going back and forth in the court of Allah Almighty to Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, now I feel shy to return back after going so many times, meaning back and forth to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking for a lessening or lightening the burden upon the ummah with the 50 prayers. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, even after this journey, after the speaking with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went into paradise. He saw the wonders of paradise. He saw many virtues, many palaces, many domes of pearls that are awaiting. He saw the heavenly maidens of paradise that are awaiting the people of paradise, my dear viewers. All of these things he saw. Then Rasulullah saw into heaven. He was in Jannah, but the veil towards hellfire was open, and he saw into hellfire. And he saw those people who will definitively be punished in hell and their states, what is happening to them, even at that time. Then he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, again returned. He returned in just all of this journey, from the entire celestial realm and journey, then the land journey back in just a short part of the night. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came across the caravan of the Quraysh and also saw many signs. And then he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, returned to his people that same night to such an extent, the speed of that journey was such. Remember that this was a tour as well. A tour is something that is done and taken. Your person is calm, a person is relaxed. There is no tension. But look at how time was amazingly constructed for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam throughout this journey. This entire journey, tayyu zaman, tayyu al-makan, the you can say restricting of time and place for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a sign amongst the many signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we find in various other accounts of the Holy Quran. But unfortunately, we don't have time to open this discussion up. My dear viewers, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned, he was in front of the Holy Kaaba. He was leaning, I believe, against the Holy Kaaba. And Abu Jahl was there. And he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a state of ponder. And he asked that, has something new happened or something new come today? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned all of this. And thereafter, my dear viewers, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the journey before all of the people of Quraysh, after he invited them, after Abu Jahl invited them. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq was the one to testify. And he was to affirm this message. And after this journey, he was granted the title of Siddiq. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, I pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us all the ability to understand the beautiful story of Mi'raj, to learn from this blessed story, to protect our salah, and to hold firm upon the teachings of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to remember and act upon what has been said. Stay tuned, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib. sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
It breaks the dark, it clears the way, guiding souls both night and day. It breaks the dark, it clears the way, guiding souls both night and day. Light of knowledge, light of knowledge.